You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Anna Sale in for Leonard Lopate today. And Ann Richards, the outspoken liberal Democrat who was the first woman in Texas history to be elected governor, is the subject of a new HBO documentary that premieres tomorrow night at the Tribeca Film Festival. All About Ann, Governor Richards and the Lone Star State, tells the story of Ann Richards' rise to power and the conservative stronghold that is Texas. The documentary airs on HBO beginning April 28th, and here today to discuss it is Cecile Richards, Ann Richards' daughter and president of Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Welcome to
Thanks,
the Leonard Lopate Show.
Thank you.
To start, let's take a minute to hear from your mother, Ann Richards.
I was not the first woman governor of Texas.
Really?
There was one before me, and her name was Ma Ferguson. And she was called Ma because she was married to Pa. Got it. And Pa was impeached when he was governor. So she was elected in his stead. And the most important thing Ma said when she was governor, she was asked about whether kids ought to be punished for speaking Spanish in the public schools. And she said if the English language was good enough for Jesus Christ, it was good enough.
That's Ann Richards speaking with Bill Maher. Your mother really knew how to wind up to a punchline, didn't she?
Yeah, and that was one of her favorite stories. I'm glad you played that.
So the other line she's very well known for is from her speech at the Democratic National Convention in 1988. She mentioned George H.W. Bush being born with a silver foot in his mouth and how Ginger Rogers did everything that Fred Astaire did. She just did it backwards and in heels. The documentary opens with that speech at the Democratic Convention. How did it change your mother's life that night?
Well, it completely put her in a different orbit in terms of the national scene. And, I mean, we'd always known she was funny and she was in politics. But to have that opportunity to sort of, as she would say, you know, show what a woman can do when she's given the chance, that's really what the Democratic Convention did. And then I think, of course, created the speculation that she might actually run for higher office and really did allow her to make the run for governor.
And that she did. On that night, the documentary shows the way she was introduced by mm-hmm. some of the news anchors. And what really stuck out to me, Tom Brokaw is describing her as, at the time, she's the treasurer of Texas. Right after that, he mentions she's divorced. And right after that, he mentions that she has been public about her alcoholism and substance abuse treatment. How did your mother think about her public profile and the way she wanted to be introduced to the American people? Was she always, you know, comfortable with that all being part of the first three lines of how she's described?
Well, I think it's interesting looking back on it now that I do think there were it's perhaps not surprising that that's how women were described, about their personal characteristics, as opposed to the fact that she had saved the state of Texas, you know, millions and millions of dollars as treasurer. But she was always the first to say, you know, love me or not, you know, warts and all. And I think for her, it was really important that people knew she had her failings. She'd had her struggles. Certainly her addiction and her publicly dealing with it was important to her, not only because she wanted people to know who she was, but because she actually thought it might encourage other folks who were dealing with addiction to get treatment. And they did. I still today travel around the country and run into people who say, I got sober because of your mom. And so for her, it wasn't she's always said she learned more from her failures than she did from some of her, you know, quote unquote, victories.
Long before that night, before she entered politics, mm-hmm. when she was raising you, she raised four kids.
Correct.
Was trained as a teacher, did some teaching in schools, was a stay-at-home mom for a period.
Yep.
When was the moment when she realized, I'm going to be the candidate?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because I think people think somehow this is what she did all her life. But as you say, she was a very much a stay-at-home mother. Now, I think our childhood wasn't exactly like everyone else's. I think everything she did was a little bit bigger than life. Every birthday party, every holiday. And so I think it was a great thing that she did find politics. But, you know, she grew up at a time when women being involved in campaigns, you know, women made the coffee, men made the decisions. And she was a volunteer in a lot of campaigns. And it wasn't until we moved to Austin and she was actually asked to run the race of a woman who wanted to be in the state legislature, which was almost unheard of. And mom decided that she'd run the campaign because, of course, really no men wanted to. And this young woman won at a very young age. Her name was Sarah Weddington. And, of course, people know her as the woman who at the age of 27 won the Roe versus Wade case before the Supreme Court. And that's really when I think mom realized she could do more than just volunteer. Ironically, the time when she first ran for office to be county commissioner, again, not a woman's job in the state of Texas, folks had asked my dad to run first, and he declined. And so she was never, as she would say, they never went out and looked for her. She had to raise her hand and say, you know what, I think I can do that.
That's something I didn't really appreciate until I saw the documentary, the moment that she was a part of when she was making these decisions to step up. It's the mid-70s, the late 70s, so your family had made the move from outside Dallas to Austin. So all of a sudden, being a Democrat, a liberal Democrat looking to run for office seemed a little bit more possible. And the women's movement is happening.
Correct. Correct.
But how did it change your family life when she decided to become a candidate?
Well, she'd pretty much raised all of us. And so I think she was a woman of enormous energy and drive. And so it was a great thing to me, and still is, that she got to have sort of a next part of her life, which was about what she could do in the political sphere. But for her, you know, the interesting thing is, there are people, I think, who are in public life or public office, and then once they lose that race, you know, their life is pretty much over. As mom always said, you know, it wasn't ever about her. Politics was just her job. And so I think she had a great life before politics and after. It certainly changed her life. Obviously, you know, her marriage ended. Took a lot of her life, took a lot of twists and turns. But I think it was one of the best decisions she ever made. And she was one of these folks who would just believe you only get one life, so you have to live it to the fullest. And she did every single day.
I'm speaking with Cecile Richards about her mother, Ann Richards, the former governor of Texas, and the new documentary All About Ann, Governor Richards and the Lone Star State. Just one more question about that period of her life and her divorce. She said at the time, you know, I thought that I might be endangering my marriage by going into politics. The documentary sort of leaves it there, and your father, her ex-husband, is part of the documentary talking lovingly about Ann Richards. What did lead to the dissolution of their marriage?
Well, I suppose only mom and dad would really know. But I think, you know, they were married a very long time, and sometimes people begin to go down their separate paths. And so I think, you know, if she were here now, I think she'd say, look, that was the decision she had to make for herself at that time. And if you always worry about what's going to happen in the future, you never do anything. And I do think that for women, she felt very strongly that women had to really push themselves to take chances, not necessarily with their marriage, but just with their lives. And that we were always worried, well, how's it going to affect the kids? How's it going to affect my marriage? How's it going to affect all these other things? And women do hold back. So I think she's an example of someone who, you know, she decided she had to take that chance. And she did.
She did. She went on to win statewide office, become Texas treasurer, then the speech at the Democratic National Convention, and then 1990 decides to run for governor.
Correct.
That race, both the primary and the general election, she got pummeled. The primary, her Democratic opponents, both men, a big issue became the question whether or not she had ever used illegal drugs. And the press glommed onto it. They wanted a yes or no answer. She demurred, and it allowed her opponents to keep bringing up basically that she'd had substance abuse treatment over and over and over again. She has this brave face as she's responding to these questions from the press again and again in the documentary footage. But what was it like for her personally to that race? What do you remember?
Oh, it was brutal. And I hope if folks see that documentary, I think it's pretty accurate about just how tough that race was. But she felt very strongly that she had been public about her addiction and about her treatment, and that's what it was, and she was moving on. She was never someone to look back. I also think it was a unique thing for a woman to be running for governor of Texas, for running for governor of almost anything. And I think her courage, and I hope what people see in this film, is that you can withstand that and go on and do amazing things, which she did as governor.
Her Republican opponent, once she got to the general election, seeing some of that footage is kind of startling now, because her Republican opponent, who was a rancher, a wealthy man, at one point he makes a joke about rape, sitting around with a bunch of reporters. And then another point on camera, he approaches your mother, Ann Richards, and she goes to shake his hand, and he completely brushes her off on camera and walks away from her. It seemed to me watching that this was before candidates knew the do's and don'ts of how to run against a woman.
Right. No, and that was a very pivotal moment. I don't think it was the difference in the race, but no, I think that she took a lot of hits, and they went after her for everything. Again, she said she was a divorced woman. She was a recovering alcoholic. She was a liberal. I mean, that was probably the toughest thing she had to deal with in the state of Texas. So I think all of that comes out in the film, and it came out in the race. But again, I think why people related to her is she was very open about who she was and what she believed in. And ultimately, I think that's what made her successful.
When she talks about what her objective was, both in the treasurer's office and when she became governor, she talked a lot about trying to make the governor or the government of Texas reflect the people of Texas.
Absolutely.
What was that like in terms of the appointments she made and bringing in staff members, women and people of color who had not historically been part of the power structure in Texas? How did that shake things up? What was the feeling on the ground in Austin?
Well, she totally reshaped what government looked like. And again, she just believed that as long as everyone was at the table, you know, things, government worked better, and that you needed all of these views reflected. I mean, she appointed a number of firsts. I won't go through all of them. But frankly, between all of her appointments, she appointed more people of color, women, openly gay and lesbian appointees than all the previous governors in the history of Texas combined. And it wasn't just about those appointments. It really was demonstrating to everyone in Texas, you actually can be part of the process and you can be part of government. And to me, one of the incredible things now, looking back and even watching the film 25 years later, because it's been 25 years since she was governor, how many of those folks are now in office or are now leading major organizations or are doing things nationally. She was all about not only opening the door for herself, but holding it open and bringing everybody along with her that she could. And that to me is, that's her legacy.
When you think of the 1994 election, mm-hmm. after her term, when she's running for re-election, her opponent is George W. Bush. He has a political consultant named Karl Rove running his campaign. This is also 1994, Newt Gingrich, Contract with America, Bill Clinton is president. The documentary seems to make the case that it was the traditional power structure in Texas sort of coming back and charging back after Ann Richards had gotten through the door. It also was a moment of shift politically nationally in the country.
Correct.
So how do you understand why she lost that bid for re-election?
Well, I do think, one, certainly anyone who's looked at the political history of this country, 94 was a watershed election, and all kinds of folks lost, including, you know, here in New York, completely reshaped Congress. And some people would say we've been dealing with the aftermath ever since. So that she was certainly swept up in that. The other part about Texas is she was always pretty liberal for the state of Texas. And so in a way, I think folks liked her, but her politics were always a little left of center. And so it's in a way, there was also some kind of realigning, if you will. It's funny. I just remember a story that when after she lost, and she and Mario Cuomo did a Doritos ad, and that was because she didn't have a job, she didn't have anything, and they called her about doing this ad, and I said, absolutely, you got to do that. So anyway, we were in an elevator not long after here in the city, going up, and I hear a woman whispering behind me. She said, that woman, I think she used to be the governor of Texas. And the other woman says to her, no, she's the one who was in that Doritos ad. And then I thought, maybe we should have just run Doritos ads instead of all the political ads we did.
A woman who got to be governor and be in Doritos ads.
There we go.
That is a life. Bill Clinton is in the documentary, and when he speaks about Ann Richards, his face just lights up. He talks about her sense of humor. Did she have a relationship with Hillary Clinton, your mother?
Absolutely. And in fact, we were really honored not only that President Clinton came for when she was lying in state in the Capitol after her death, but also that that Secretary Clinton came in and gave a eulogy. No, they were quite close, and she was close with the whole family. I think she and President Clinton shared a particular love of bad jokes.
Dirty jokes.
Well, yeah, let's just say it, dirty jokes. And so I think that they may have shared that more than she did with Secretary Clinton. But she was very, very fond of Hillary, proud of her, and my goodness, would be so enormously proud of what she's done.
And there's a woman running for governor in Texas this
Indeed.
Year.
It's about time, yeah.
She's behind in the polls by double digits. You have been involved in Wendy Davis's campaign, been to fundraisers and campaigned with her. And have you talked to Wendy Davis about what you learned about what it is for a woman to run for governor of Texas from your mom's two statewide wins and her loss?
Well, look, I mean, just say Wendy is an extraordinary office holder. She would make a fabulous governor. I hope she gets that chance. We talked before she decided to run. She said, you know, what do you think? And I said, well, if mom was here, she'd say, you know, you don't run, you don't win. And so it's I mean, even mom's race, she was far from a shoe-in. And in fact, she was more than 20 points down August before her election. So I'm sympathetic to what, you know, looking at polls doesn't always indicate what's going to happen. But I think the most important thing that Wendy is, She is a candidate for this century for women in Texas, I think, and men. You know, she has a lot of talents that mom didn't have, and I think is, you know, extraordinary in her own right. And I think she should stick with what she's good at, and has an amazing record.
Finally, I want to ask you about your reflections on why it seems like Ann Richards and remembering her is having a moment.
It's like an Ann Richards boomlet.
Yes.
I know, it's fantastic.
There's the one woman show with Holland Taylor at Lincoln Center last year. Now there's this new documentary. Your mother passed away in 2006. She was just 73 years old.
Right.
Is part of the reason it took 8 years for there to be a look back at Ann Richards' life, or for you to be able to participate in documentaries like this, was it just too sad to lose her so early?
I hadn't thought about it that way. I don't. I think maybe just her story was kind of big, and it took that long to get it down on film. And to me, though, it's really wonderful that it's happening at this moment, because it does show some enduring. I think it's easier to say a few years later, well, what really is enduring about Ann Richards? And to me, it is about her resilience, her willingness to be who she was, warts and all. Unapologetically living life to its fullest. I know she had a great run here in New York City where she got to live here, and that was a part of the greatest joy in her life, was getting to spend those years in New York. But she was the first one to say, you know, you get only one chance at life, so do it all now. And that was always her advice to women, certainly to her children. And I hope that comes through in this film, that she was no apologies, no regrets.
I've been speaking with Cecile Richards about her late mother, Texas Governor Ann Richards. She's the subject of a new documentary called All About Ann, Governor Richards and the Lone Star State. It premieres tomorrow night at the Tribeca Film Festival and debuts on HBO on April 28th at 9 p.m. Cecile Richards, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.